right, welcome in. Happy Halloween week to One and All. Jeff Wright, Derek Zhu here with you with another episode of Sauce Up the Scary. Jeff, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm super sleepy because I have the worst dog in the world, and I don't really know what's going to happen with me on this episode as a result. I could go anywhere.
That's okay. I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be animal abuse, but it's going to be like maybe some dark thoughts about animal shelters and...
Right, yeah. We love our pets until they keep us from sleep, and then it's a different story.
Yeah, we are definitely, you know, if this was a Facebook status back in the day, this would be like, it's complicated. I plan to continue feeding and watering him, but I'm not sure what I can commit to after that.
But no love for a while.
No love.
Yeah, I get it. Well, hey, man, like I said, it is Halloween week, and we are making the trip back to Haddonfield. I honestly, you know, something that I guess this never really caught my attention, but like I would say that you've told me that Halloween is probably your favorite horror franchise, correct?
Yeah, I guess that's probably true. It's definitely my favorite slasher.
So, you know, you have that. I'm a big fan of Michael Myers as well. This is only the third movie out of the vast collection of Halloween movies that you and I have reviewed.
Yeah, maybe you know, if history continues being written, that's the Saw Something Scary Halloween tradition, you know?
Yeah.
It would take till we're basically dead to cover them all, so.
I'm okay with that, too. I mean, I plan on doing this podcast until I kill over, so.
There we go. Maybe at the hands of a masked psychopath?
Maybe. Or maybe the hands of the grueling work schedule from a Dolly Parton. I don't know.
I picture a version. This is awful, but I picture a version of how the lady in the hot tub got killed in Halloween 2. You're just sitting there recording a podcast, headset on. Somebody puts their hand on your shoulder. You just gently start kissing their finger.
Yeah.
It turns out it's a murderer.
Yeah. I'm like, Jeff, I didn't know you were here. Then I get dunked.
It's the last anybody ever hears from me.
My boobs flying everywhere. Just get dunked repeatedly in the water.
Which, okay, I mean, this is way spoiler territory, but this came out in 1981. Most of our listeners probably weren't alive then. How does she die of hotness? Like, and I'm not saying attractiveness. How does she die by being boiled like a lobster, but Michael's hand's totally fine?
Thank you. That is the one question I had for you about this movie. We'll get into it. We'll get into it. We're going to make this a whole Halloween-themed episode today. And I think actually our Jeff H. Trailers and Horror Reporter are actually combining today to form Captain Planet. So let's just roll that beautiful bean footage.
Yeah, baby.
Jeff H. Trailers.
Jeff, you and I were recording our Patreon episode of Antebellum on Wednesday morning. And the Halloween Twitter account put out the following tweet. What is at LGNDOF Halloween? So Legend of Halloween, basically. What is at Legend of Halloween? Something's coming. The knife emoji, the pumpkin emoji, hashtag Halloween, hashtag Michael Myers. And we've come to find out that what that is essentially a book from John Carpenter and Deborah Hill. But besides that, we also got a teaser trailer for the new Halloween movie that's going to be coming out in October of next year.
Yeah. So everybody knows my approach to trailers. I immediately press play on this one.
Yeah. Well, what were your thought process on it? I'd like to know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm here for that. I think one of the things I realized from this watching of Halloween 2 is that the new director did a really good job of capturing the visuals and the aesthetics of the original movie. And seeing this teaser trailer for Halloween Kills made me think, oh, yeah, they've done the same thing. They've at least captured the look and sort of the it's a weird term to use here, but like the ethos of Michael Myers. Mm-hmm. And it got me excited to go back and watch the, was it 2018 Halloween sequel now? Like I'm kind of reinvigorated to go plow back through some of these movies. So it really worked for me. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. I'm pretty pumped, man. It looks really good. Obviously it's good to see Jamie Lee Curtis back through this thing. You know, hopefully I do hope that that we do, more reviews on the Halloween movies because it's such a convoluted history. And I just love how they've retconned most all of it, but it is fun to see the progress, you know, how things have progressed and, And so, but yeah, I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis is in this. Michael Myers looks like a bad A. I'm all for it. October 15th, can't get here quick enough.
For sure. Just watching Michael Myers walk through the leaves, I was in. You know, I guess it's okay to spoil a trailer when he leans down to like pick his mask up off the road. And that's a little hard to believe. Like, you just don't leave those things laying around either as part of, a case file against a serial killer or collectors. You know, collectors would snatch that thing up. But nonetheless, it worked in the trailer and I'm here for it.
Yeah, I agree. Also, is this canonical proof that Michael Myers is fireproof?
Well, I mean, I think we've already seen that there's room in the previous movies for that as well, right? The hand boiling and even the fact that he just came back after the way this movie ended.
Right.
That we're reviewing today. Sure. Let's go with that. He's made of asbestos.
That does make sense. And he is kind of a cancer to the people that he is trying to haunt in his life. So he is made of asbestos.
I'm pretty sure we just became Samhain high priests.
Holy smokes. Also, if you or a loved one is suffering from mesothelioma, call
someone who doesn't sponsor a podcast.
Yeah, that's why I stopped it. You want that sauce up the scary publicity, you better pay me some money, son.
Yeah, nothing for free except to our listeners.
That's right. So, yeah, man, October 15th, 2021. Not at this age, not overly excited to turn another year older, but I think I'll make an exception. Hurry up, 2020, get over with, and let's get to October of next year.
For sure. We can just pretend like the one didn't happen and the other did.
Yeah. Outstanding.
We're all about creating our own realities now. Let's just do it that way.
It's true. That's true. Hopefully, by that point, we'll be able to get back into movie theaters.
Yeah, that would be nice.
But you know what? If not, Jeff, that may be the movie that we try to rent the drive-in to and try to put together some kind of sauce up the scary
meetup
comic-con or meetup or something.
Yeah. Hey, the old Sparta drive-in's getting run, man. Toby Mac was playing there the other day. Big Daddy Weave.
Wow.
Basically everything from our youth group days right there in good old Sparta, Tennessee.
Next you're going to tell me Cutlass and Thousand Foot Crutch are doing a concert together.
I would not be surprised.
I mean, I'd be all right with that.
Yeah, for sure. I may go.
That's crazy. Toby Mac. Well, I wish Mac Powell would have been in there, man.
Yeah. Give it a little time, man. The pandemic's got these artists hustling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nate Bargatze's doing drive-in tours now. I think that they got to get paid somehow. So let's get to the drive-ins, and the drive-ins are glad to have them.
Yep. So, I guess that does it for Jeff H. Trailers and the Horror Reporter this week. So let's get into it, man. The main event, the reason we're here, is Pull the String.
Halloween 2, 1981. Let's do it. Going to get Wahlberg involved?
Yep. Wahlberg!
What? No!
Spoiler alert. It's fun to see him dressed up like Woody and Buzz at the same time.
I went real northern on that, too. Did you hear it? Wahlberg!
I didn't catch that. I was so distracted by his costume.
Yeah. Apparently he has a friend in himself.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can't love yourself, who else are you going to love, buddy?
Man, that's the truth.
So, hey, I love this movie. It takes a lot of crap. I don't think it deserves. I need to know how my good friend Derek felt about the film.
Man, I think that we talked about this on either the Patreon episode or last week's episode. I know that I've watched this movie before. But I don't think that I've seen it in 20 years, probably. And I don't know if it was just because I had such a visceral hatred of the movie that we reviewed for Patreon, or if it just caught me as a surprise. But, dude, I really did enjoy this movie.
Oh, good. I feel like you've given me a gift. I really enjoy it when we line up, but I also like my friends like movies I like. So good. I think it's basically you and me versus John Carpenter and everyone who made the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the crazy part about it is, watched the movie, enjoyed the movie. After the movie was over with, I did a dive to kind of find out some trivia and information, you know, the stuff that we do on this thing to talk, have some talking points. And the biggest thing that I read was how John Carpenter basically didn't want to do this movie. Got loaded up on, I think his, liqueur of choice was, bourbon, if I'm not mistaken. And, or no, I'm sorry. A six pack of Budweiser.
Drinking the good stuff.
Yeah. And that John Carpenter himself called Halloween 2 an abomination and a horrible movie.
man, whatever. I've seen his movies. This is not, you know, I mean, I love his stuff. Don't get me wrong. But
right.
I've seen stuff that could be accused of that. And this is not one of those. This is such a good movie. It's not. Yeah, it's not. It's not the original. The original was something. I don't know. You kept caught lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
But it's really good.
Yeah, it is, man. Like you said, it's not the original, but I think as a companion to the original movie, I think it does its job. You know, it definitely goes by the horror movie tropes of sequels, right?
Mm-hmm.
More death, more sexuality, more gore. And I don't know, maybe, you know, maybe it's just because we are right around Halloween and stuff, but it hit me right in the feels, right where I want, you know, right where I want a horror movie to hit me.
Me too. I know it was early 80s, but it just feels 70s enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of scratched that nostalgia itch. Last night, I watched it last night, and it was kind of a dark and stormy night at the house. Felt like fall. Everything just came together perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm also right in the middle of opening up Christmas at the Stampede, so I'm trying my best to cling on to as much Halloween stuff as I possibly can.
For sure.
So this was a much needed boost to my Halloween immune system.
Yeah, and I'm glad you got that. I can't stand Christmas creep, so fight it with every tool you got, buddy.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Hey, I'll tell you, the point you made about this kind of being a sequel is it's absolutely true. And I think one of the elements that made Halloween, the original, so powerful is that it wasn't overstated, right? Like, I mean, he did some gruesome stuff, but a lot of the scares in the original Halloween comes from just Michael lurking and showing up somewhere and standing around menacing. And so I read several reviewers who pointed out that basically at this point, the tail was wagging the dog. And so we've talked in previous reviews how Friday the 13th came along and said, oh, we know how to do Halloween even more. So go bigger on murder, go bigger on boobs, go bigger on buckets of blood. And it does feel like Halloween 2, probably because John Carpenter was getting a paycheck while half in the bag, started getting pulled in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's entirely, a good thing for this film. But I also appreciate that even with sort of the stretching toward what was happening at the time, it's still not just incredibly gory. And I get that there's a scene where a nurse is bled out and a guy trips in her blood and cracks his head. But something that helps me there is that blood looks like no blood that's ever existed on the face of the earth before.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks like basically paint.
Yeah.
And maybe that was just mentally enough to keep me from, you know, from seeing it as super gory. But as a guy who's not incredibly interested in a lot of gore, this one's definitely more gory. I wish they hadn't felt like they needed to accommodate where horror was going, but it was still dialed down enough for me to really enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's well said. It was a product of its time, but yet it also felt like it was still in that rarefied air of we don't have to stoop this low to get what we need to get to. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And yeah, when the guy slips in the blood, I remember thinking like, oh, is that like cranberry juice?
For sure, man. I don't know who did special effects, but it was not a strong day.
No, definitely not. Well, I mean, you know, maybe in 81, that was the best they could do at that time.
I feel like Tom Savini was sitting somewhere going, come on, guys, come on.
Yeah, that's true. Tom Savini was sitting somewhere designing a mask for a yet born Wyndham Rotunda.
That's true. That's true. It took a while to percolate and it was good.
Yeah. Which one day I think we need to bring back Sauce of the Scary in the Ring and do another deep dive on Bray Wyatt with the Fiend character and Alexa Bliss now as his. This is Harley Quinn.
Let's go. I didn't even know that was happening. I'm all about that.
Oh man. Yeah. We got a lot to talk about then, dude. It is. It's the only thing that keeps me from never watching WWE ever again.
Okay. Well, I will have to check that out.
Yeah. Yeah. And Bliss is all in, you know, she's a horror fan anyway. And it looks like she's having the time of her life. That's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. I will definitely look into that. Now to make a kind of a hard shift.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Well, no, it set it up in my brain, so I'm going to go with it. Miss Jamie Lee Curtis did not look like she was having the time of her life. And I think we talked about this when we reviewed the 78 film. Jamie is a beautiful woman, but she's also one of those people who looks like they were born like 35 to 45.
Mm-hmm.
And man, Halloween 2, I love it. She does a great job, but she's clearly not a teenage babysitter. Like, they're strapping that girl to the gurney, and the paramedic that falls in love with her says, yeah, she goes to my little brother's school. And I'm like, whatever, she's a teacher at your school.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she does look like she's aged about 10 years.
Yeah.
In between the movies.
And you know, again, not like she looked old. Like, Jamie Lee Curtis is a beautiful woman today and seems to defy some you know, aspects of aging. But this just ain't no teenager, man.
Yeah.
They waited too long.
Yeah, but Jamie Lee Curtis has always looked mature for her age.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I get it. It makes sense. But no, you're absolutely right, dude. She is every late 90s star who's in their 20s trying to play a teenager.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. I mean, she's basically foreshadowing Scream, Know What You Did Last Summer, you know,
yep.
All that stuff by being basically a soccer mom playing a teenager.
She's 45-year-old Skeet Ulrich trying to play a 15-year-old Billy Loomis.
It's that meme. Why can't I remember the guy's name? He was in, oh my gosh, the Usual Suspects. He's got the crazy eyes.
Kevin Spacey.
No, it's not the Usual Suspects either. Quentin Tarantino. I'm going to have to edit all this because I'm super tired. Why can't I remember his name? He's got crazy eyes. But anyway, you know, it's the meme where he's dressed up like he's in Saved by the...
Steve Buscemi.
There you go. Buscemi. Hello, fellow kids. Hello, fellow teenagers.
Hello, fellow teenagers. Yeah.
Whatever, Mom. Get us a juice box.
Yeah. I just want Steve Buscemi's career.
You don't want his dashing good look?
Well, I mean, I don't think I'll ever get that far.
All you got to do is make a Tarantino film, man.
Yeah, that's it.
I'll tell you another thing I appreciate about Halloween 2. For whatever degree that Carpenter was blasted, he knew how to capture the part of Halloween from 78 to begin this.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the two pieces of characterization we have for Michael Myers. Yeah, I mean, he's supposed to be kind of a blank slate. That's great. That's part of what he is. But the two pieces of characterization we have is that he stops attacking Laurie when she pulls his mask off. And he takes a moment to step back and put the mask on because, you know, he's not the shape without the mask.
Right.
And then later on, we see him do the head tilt thing again when Laurie is calling out to him by name. And those are basically the two traits we have to kind of give him some degree of personality. And I'm not as crazy about the one where he tilts his head at Jamie before trying to slash her to death. But I thought starting with him sitting up, attacking her, the mask getting pulled off and him breaking off the attack to put it on was perfect. Like, it put me right back into the Halloween vibe immediately. And so even half drunk, checked out Carpenter knows how to start a movie.
Yeah.
It stood out to me this time. Back in the day, I thought it was super cool and a great storytelling point. But when Loomis goes out of the house and sees the yard angel made by the falling body of Michael Myers, It's really distinct. I just thought, like, I mean, we could mat the grass down a little bit, guys, but that's pretty telegraphed right there.
Yeah, dude, did my eyes play tricks on me, or did Michael Myers, when Loomis shot him and he falls over the rail, was he not like walking on the rail?
Yeah.
It looked like he levitated.
I actually think that is sort of a weakness to the film that I don't know how you would fix it other than if you just cropped out his feet in the shot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that would be too close of a shot to kind of give you the effect of them expecting him to be dead. But yes, he clearly steps up onto the railing in a way nobody who's getting shot and knocked backward would do.
Yeah. I mean, it almost looked like they had a platform and he just walked over the, I don't know. It was a weird shot. Like, I rewound it.
Yep.
So I was like, wait a minute. Why didn't he just topple over?
I'm guessing it's because the stunt man couldn't safely.
Yeah.
Trip like that, he had to kind of launch off the balcony. And it's one of those parts of the movie where you're like, just look past it. You know what I mean? Like, don't get hung up on that because it does kind of take you out of it a bit.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
I'll tell you what else was weird. I feel like I'm criticizing a movie I really liked. I'm not. I'm just kind of bagging on it because I love it. It's like, you know, you hang out with your friends and you make fun of each other. So this is me doing that with a movie I love. But the whole Ben Tramer getting hit by a police car thing. you know, they set it up pretty well in that. I say set it up. They deal with it pretty well because eventually you have the kids run up and be like, Ben was drunk and we can't find him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the thing is, there has never been a mask before Halloween sold that looks like Michael Myers' mask.
Yeah.
But that poor sap managed to find the second one. And he went with the special edition that had blonde hair. And he gets run down to the street for his troubles. Yeah. All he'd been wanting to do was hook up with Laurie Strode. That's all that guy was about. And a couple poor choices on one Halloween night. And he's the one casualty of Michael Myers that Michael Myers had nothing to do with.
Yeah. 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 It really did. I think that was the one moment in the movie. Well, one of the moments in the movie that I laughed out loud, but I know that was unintentional. But just that whole scene, I was just like.
And even when he's trying to get away, he does the Danny and Blyhouse thing where he you know, he's running like his underwear around his ankles. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, Ben, come on, man, get out the road.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. Another funny thing in that little segment is that I'm a Second Amendment American. You know, I don't mean to provoke a fight with anybody politically, but I'm generally I enjoy shooting, stuff like that. But Dr. Loomis is out here making me rethink my policies. He just hop out the car, run after somebody, try to gun a kid down in the street who's trying to get away. I was like, you know, maybe we do need tighter gun control laws in Haddonfield.
Oh, man. You're saying everything I was wanting to say.
I'm sorry.
That's so good. No. You're fine. You're fine. It's just that's the same thing I thought, too. And I was like, man, if anybody needed a PSA for why they may need stricter gun laws, show them this movie.
Yeah. Come on, Loomis. You don't get to kill people just because they're wearing a mask.
Just because you're a doctor doesn't mean you get to shoot people.
Oh, he's so over the top, too, man. I mean, more power to him. But just this is his moment to shine. When he's having that conversation with the deputy who's taking over for the sheriff, who has to go tell his wife his daughter's dead. He's like, he's still out there.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought this guy was ready for Shakespeare, and this is the closest he ever got to it.
Yeah, that they gave him all the scenery and they said, chew up as much as you can, buddy.
And he did. My word.
Yes, he did. It's a great effect, though.
Sure. I've never felt more connected with a guy who just furtively scurries from one car door to the next. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm with you, man, but all you're doing is jumping in and out of cars and riding around.
Yeah.
Well, besides trying to gun down teenagers. I don't know if you saw this in your research, but Carpenter had initially thought about doing a deal where Michael Myers goes to Laurie's apartment in the city, and it's like set in a high rise.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, that was kicked around for a while. And I think Carpenter ended up working on a movie that was kind of a horror movie set in a skyscraper. But I can't track it down as IMDb. I just have that in my head. But anyway, I'm glad they ended up at the hospital. It made me realize, I guess I didn't know how much time I spent in industrial buildings, but I do, you know. You go to a Super Walmart or a Target or a Costco. I'm in a church building. I'm in a school building. I go to hospitals, you know, and there is sort of there's a sense of like, there's a lot of hiding places here. There's a lot of dark corners, rooms that you don't know where they go. And it's a pretty effective layout for a mass slasher is running around killing people and preying on people, jumping out at them like a stalking tiger in the jungle. I don't know that Halloween 2 was the first to do that, but they do a really good job. Like when Laurie's running through the storage room or the security guard guy is, when the security guard guy is out like checking out the dumpster area, mm-hmm. I felt those things were pretty creepy.
Yeah, for sure. I think that whoever was like the director of cinematography on this thing does an excellent job with just the way that it's lit.
Mm-hmm.
To keep everything in shadows and to kind of keep you from guessing, or not to keep you from guessing, but to keep you guessing about what's going on, and literally to keep you in the dark on some things that are happening. One of the best scenes of the whole movie is where the nurse goes to find the doctor, I guess because Laurie is catatonic, and she spins the doctor around to find him with whatever's in his eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
And as she backs up, she runs into the shape, and I it didn't scare me, but I just thought it was a really cool shot of like, oh, dang, he's been there. You know, he's been there the whole time. I thought that was just really cool. And I really did enjoy how most of the time, you know, we'll talk about, man, I wish that this movie would have been lighter or, you know, better lit or whatever. But in this one, I thought it was perfect. I just thought it was I thought that they did the best job with just everything as far as your cinematography goes, but especially with like the lighting and keeping a lot of things in shadows and stuff. I just thought it was really cool.
For sure. And that's the best kill in the whole movie.
Oh, by far, by far.
you know, everybody who listens probably knows that I'm a huge robber. Maybe I could say it right and prove my credibility. But Roger Ebert, I love his movie reviews, and I still wish we were getting them. But he says that he thinks that's the first time a hypodermic needle was ever used as a stabbing kill device.
Really?
I have no idea how to track that down. But if Roger Ebert said it, I'm going to sort of assume it's possible.
Yeah. Hey, I want to talk to you about this. What did you think of Dick Warlock playing the Shape?
Well, here's what I thought. He has the greatest name.
Yes.
Of any horror stuntman, whatever, ever.
He went into the wrong entertainment industry.
We'll just leave that there.
Yeah.
Do you know he lives in Tennessee now? He's like 80, but he lives in Tennessee.
No. Are you serious?
I think he lives in Kingsport.
Oh, we got to get Dick then to come on the show. We got
to
get.
I just want to go to the Warlock house. You know what I mean? Like, I think I should be able to.
That's probably the better way of saying it.
I should be able to walk into Kingsport, Tennessee and say, point me to the Warlock.
Yeah.
And everybody tell me where it's at.
Yeah. That'd be really cool to meet up with him. And I mean, he's.
Man, I just know it's coming.
80 years old.
Uh-huh. What joke is about to happen?
Oh, no. I was being dead serious. Like, I'd love to get him on the podcast. And like,
Okay. I just figured there was some kind of age joke coming up here.
Oh, no. I was just looking at his IMDb page and was trying to do math in my head with, you know, minimal sleep. I'd love to try to track him down. Oh, what I was going to say is he's 80, so I don't know if he would have email or, you know, anything like that. May not be something on his radar.
I think his Wikipedia page says his kids kind of manage his, profile. And so maybe we can get one of them involved.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to take a Saw Something Scary road trip.
Yeah, I'd be 100% on board with that. As a matter of fact, I may be in Pigeon Forge in a couple of weeks. So Kingsport's right up the road.
Yeah, you could be our man on the scene. He's really good. I assume that there's some of the stuff about Michael Myers that isn't hard to play. But when he's slashing and busting his way through doors and, you know, dropping the hammer, I thought he did a great job.
Yeah.
The one kill that frustrates me is the one we joked about at the beginning, the boiling people in the hot tub thing. I need Michael to be a killing monster. I'm not sure I need him knowing how to make use of hydraulic equipment, you know, or not hydraulic. I don't even know what the term would be. But anyway, I also think it struck me at the time, like there's no way that a medical facility is going to have the capacity for their heat therapy pool to heat up and cook someone. But then I was like, oh, no, it's 1981. Of course they would have it set up that way.
Yeah.
The actress said that water was actually super cold. I guess they were oxygenating it to make it look like it was boiling.
Oh, wow.
She said it was super cold and she got an ear infection from doing the scene. Poor lass.
Yeah, that is a crazy scene, man.
And how did his hand not get burned?
That is something we need to know. Can we talk to the director on this thing and be like, hey, can you explain to me, Rick Rosenthal, explain to me your actions?
Well, I learned last night doing some research that Scream Factory put out a special edition Blu-ray of this. I think I'm going to pick it up because it has two distinct commentary tracks.
Oh, okay.
So maybe we'll find out.
Yeah.
Anybody out there listening who's got that already and watched it, we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
That, I mean, really probably the inner world explanation is where, you know, for the people who said the story kind of went off the rails here, I'm with them on this point, you know, that we get the introduction of Samhain and this idea that Michael is either, you know, an avatar for Samhain or he's the agent of the Samhain cult. Like there's some kind of what comes to be called like the thorn curse on him. And I don't care for any of that stuff. If I was going to do a fan edit of this film, they'd never go to the elementary school. It would just be cut out and we wouldn't have an attempt at explaining why Michael can keep eating bullets, but stand up and keep going. Because I just like the idea of him as a soulless monster who's not an actual supernatural monster.
Yeah.
So that Samhain stuff, I did not care for. You know, they've retconned the Laurie Strode, his sister stuff. I don't mind that at all. I, you know, the idea that he's fixated on ending his family line, I'm cool with that. That's not a problem to me at all. But let's just get rid of the Samhain stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I felt like it was a detractor to the entire story.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. Well, this may be the wrong turn of phrase, but you understand what I'm saying when I say this. It's a lot cooler when he is just an object of evil.
Yep.
And I mean, that's one of the biggest things that one of the biggest caveats you and I had with the Rob Zombie stuff. Like, I don't need to see this guy's backstory to enjoy the Halloween movies. Just have him come in with his object, you know, of wanting to murder Laurie Stroud for whatever reason that he has. And let's see the carnage that goes on between the two until ultimately she finds a way to stop him for the time being.
Yep. I'm with you. There's enough. I mean, I know this is not a complex movie. There's not a lot of plot. I mean, I know all those things are true. But, you know, when Laurie is running from Michael in that storage building, or say that storage area, and she's in her gown and she's limping, I think, and she like jumps up in a window to kind of squirt through into the next side, and she's kicking her legs and he's grabbing at her. That's enough for me. Like, she felt super vulnerable in that time. Mm-hmm. I felt really sorry for her as this, you know, this young woman who, you know, we've had our jokes about that, but I'm trying to play along. This young woman who's in this night that will never end, running on adrenaline and just trying to survive. I mean, that was plenty for me. I don't need more from the Halloween movies than Michael chasing her around a largely empty hospital. So just keep the Samhain stuff. It's what mustache on the Mona Lisa, although this is not a Mona Lisa.
Yep. Yeah. But in the same vein, there's no reason for it.
Yep.
I agree. Anything else we need to talk about on this? I mean, this is one of those things where, like, obviously we have a lot of stuff that we could talk about, but I also don't want to talk about too much because I just want people to go watch this movie, especially right now. You know, we're recording this on the 30th of October. Tomorrow's Halloween. Like, for some people, you'll be doing two Christmas shows tomorrow night and won't have a chance to celebrate Halloween properly because for some reason, you know, this year can't get worse. but, you know, if you're looking to do a Halloween movie marathon tomorrow or a scary movie marathon tomorrow or something, I would definitely tell you, if you have not seen this movie or you haven't seen it in a long time, to make sure to put this one into your rotation, because it really did surprise me at how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I'm with you. It gets the beats of Halloween. So if you've watched Halloween a bunch, the original film, and you're like, yeah, I don't really want to go back there, I've seen it a bunch. Two does all the same stuff. It is gorier, but it's almost in some ways more stripped down. It's just him in one location chasing people. Mm-hmm. They're not moving house to house. It scratches the same itch. And if you like the sequel in 2018, that I thought was really good too, but you hadn't seen this initial sequel, I think you're going to pick this film up.
Yeah.
And enjoy it quite a bit. I will tell you that the last thing I want to talk to you about is that final confrontation there in the room that apparently was built to just gas people to death. Mm-hmm. So when Michael starts bleeding under his mask, where has Laurie shot him? Has she shot his eyes out?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So she's, man, she is an accurate shooter.
She's a lot better than Loomis.
Yeah, no doubt. And where did Loomis get the second pistol?
I think he just keeps one on him.
I think his trench coat must be like one of those stereotypical guys you know, you see like on New York who's trying to sell a watch or whatever. He's like, want a 357?
He's got that Dick Tracy trench coat.
And under it is all the guns. You know what this young, frightened teenage girl who's, exhausted needs right now? She needs a firearm.
Yeah. Protect yourself, Laurie.
I'll go turn on all the gas. Why are you going to do that, Doc? Have you ever been on laughing gas?
They did that so that they could come back with the third one and be like, it was all a dream. He's still alive.
We were high. I mentioned earlier that they bring back the characterization of Michael by having him tilt his head. Mm-hmm. I didn't care for it here because I think, you know, she's his sister. They've had all the flashbacks. She calls out to him by his name and he stops and kind of tilts his head and lowers his weapon. And in the same vein as we've already been talking about how to present Michael Myers, it just humanizes him too much.
Yeah.
Like, I've already heard from Loomis that there's nothing human left in him. I don't want to see him stop and consider his sister. And it also goes back to the original one. And I'm like, why was he doing that to the guy hanging from the door? You know, when he's doing it to the guy hanging from the door in the first one, you're like, oh, he's just a sadist and he's looking at his work. I like that version better than, oh, she called out to the little brother that's still in there or the big brother that's still in there. Makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, it does. And I completely agree. Don't don't give me a reason to sympathize with this monster. Just let him be a monster.
Yeah, I mean, it would be more powerful if she called out to him trying to provoke that, and he just, you know, he just never misses a beat and keeps coming.
Yeah.
Well, man, I am a fan of this movie. It is not a perfect movie by any stretch of the imagination, but it's better than a lot. And I think it's better than pretty much anything that was trying to emulate it. I know Friday the 13th Part 2 came out the same year. It's better than that. I've not seen Omen 3, The Final Conflict, but I saw The Howling. I like The Howling. I saw American Werewolf in London. I like that. If werewolves aren't your jam and you want to be in the early 80s, go get Halloween 2.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more. Like I said, I expected to enjoy it just because it was, you know, Michael Myers and going back to familiar territory that I haven't seen in a while. But this one really surprised me. You know, I guess I'm of the mind of like Halloween, the 76 Halloween is right. 76, 78,
78,
78. You're right. 78. The 78 version is untouchable, and it is. But then the rest of the sequels just fall flat.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, this one, in my opinion, ranks right up there, you know?
Yeah. It's a worthy sequel, right?
Yeah. I think it's a good companion.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm with you, and it doesn't deserve the hate it gets.
No, it doesn't. And honestly, I think my plan is now is after work tonight, I think I may rent the Halloween 3, and I'm just going to pick back up and watch them all. Because, again, I know I've watched these movies, but I think that I watched them on like USA or you know, Sci-Fi or something, and probably haven't seen them in over 20 years. So I think it's time to get reeducated with Michael Myers. Of course, I'm going to skip H2O and, you know, all that stuff. I guess for me, that's the thing that kind of sucks about my horror fandom is that's where I found Michael Myers was in Halloween H2O. And I just remember being like, why does everybody think this is a big deal? This is just your average, you know, slasher film, and not even average. It's below average.
Yeah. Yeah. It gets watered down.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget that Halloween 3 is that weird one about masks where they thought they would just move on from Michael Myers.
Yeah.
I watched it last year and I enjoyed it as like an 80s goofy horror movie. You just got to forget it's got Halloween on the bill, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all about the Halloween, you know, plow back through all the Halloween movies. And yeah, you're going to get to a comedic point with those. But there's a nostalgia bump. You know, everything's about the 80s nowadays anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There's a nostalgia bump that you run into, and it kind of makes it, the movies aren't that good, but it kind of makes the experience enjoyable.
Yeah, for sure. I'm looking forward to going back and checking those out. So
yep.
If I get the chance, I'll watch them if I get the chance, and then I'll report back and let you know what I thought about them.
Sounds good, man. Sounds good.
For sure.
Well, my bag is empty.
Yeah, I do want to let people know, I don't know about the other ones, but I do know that as of right now, you can rent Halloween 2 on Amazon Prime for only $2.
Sweet. It's well worth $2.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, if you want to go a step further than that, you can actually buy the movie. If you're a Prime member, you can buy the movie, I think, for as little as $6 on digital.
Sweet.
There's I don't know if it's just because it's this time of the year or what's going on, but Amazon is giving a little bump right now. So if you are a Prime member, you can rent the movie for $1.99.
Yeah, cool.
So make that happen and enjoy your Halloween weekend. It sucks that the year that Halloween falls on a Saturday is the year that we're all supposed to not go out and do anything.
Hear.
But anyway. Well, let's get to it, man. Jeff, did you see something scary?
Yeah, man, I did. I think Michael Myers is a pretty frightening figure. This is not the best presentation of him, but it's not a bad one either. So, yes, I saw something scary.
Yeah, I agree. I will say that I saw something scary as well. On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put this?
Man, in my heart, it's like a 7. I think probably it's a 6.
Yeah. I was actually going to go right in the middle and say 6.5.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. It's not going to change your life.
Right.
It's not going to leave you thinking about it for days, but it's sure a fun watch.
Yeah. It's definitely going to scratch an itch if you have a horror itch that you need scratched. That was a weird sentence, but you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
So, well, good deal, man. Well, I'm glad that we picked this one. You know, I know that we had thought about doing the Jason movies right off the bat, but I'm glad that we took this little detour into Haddonfield, and I'm looking forward to watching those, or rewatching Never Hike Alone and then the prequel looking forward to doing that in 2 weeks' time. We'll have that to you on Friday the 13th. So I guess that leaves us with what's for next week.
Man, I don't know, but I'll try to come up with something to pitch you.
Yeah, and I'll work on something as well. We'll try to figure out something from there.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Well, hey, let us know what you thought about this movie. Let us know what you thought about the episode. Get with us on Facebook at We Saw Something Scary. That's our Facebook group. We would love to have you be a part of that. Of course, we would also love for you to give us those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcast. That opens up the algorithm and allows more people to see what we're doing and hopefully be able to subscribe and download like you guys do as well. And if you want to partner up with us on Patreon, we would love for you to do that as well. Patreon.com/scarypodcast. And you have 4 different tiers that you can help us out with from there. We are actually going to be doing 2 bonus episodes next month for the Patreon peeps. One of them is going to be voted on, if I'm not mistaken, by the Patreon crew. So if you're part of the Patreon stuff, let us know what your submission is for that so that we can get the votes together for it. And I'm looking forward to seeing what these guys have in store for us to watch. But until next week, he's at Right Jeff. I'm at Derek Zoo, and we are out of time. Thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you have a very happy, safe Halloween. I know it's not going to be the normal Halloween that we all enjoy, but hopefully we can all still have a lot of fun watching our favorite horror movies or doing whatever you're going to be doing at the time. But until next week, stay away from clowns and sewers, blind men with turkey basters, and white people with teacups. We'll see you guys back here next week. Bye-bye, man.
Rest in peace, Ben Tramer.
Aw.